punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Jill Menner.
Happy Friday! It's my favorite day of the week.
Yeah, your favorite. You got to go home and get ready to go to...
Yeah, I have to pack. I procrastinated last night, so I didn't get done last night.
Your dad would be so proud. Anyway, it's going to be another warm one today. We're just opposite of what we were yesterday. Southwestern Oklahoma was our... I think Hollis was already like 98 degrees at this time yesterday. They're 76 right now.
Really?
Yeah, and Slapout was the coolest spot yesterday in northwestern Oklahoma at this time, and they're the hottest spot. So it's 92 degrees at Slapout, 87 at the May Ranch, 87 at Oklahoma, 87 at Bessie, 86 at Cheyenne, the home of...
The secret weapon.
Anyway, 88 degrees at Eric, 76 at Hollis, 80 at Altus out here in the west... Texas Mezzanette in the eastern Texas Panhandle, 92 degrees at Canadian, 82 at Wellington, 79 at Odell, and Odell's usually the hottest spot in our radio range, as I call it, 92 at Estella. So anyway, it's pretty warm out there. Yesterday, 126 at
Paul's Valley.
Paul's Valley.
I saw that. That's hot.
That's hot. That was heat. I guess that set a record for the Mezzanette since they got started. So we don't need none of that.
I'm good.
You're good. So anyway, you got the hay hauled?
Yes, we did. And my AC in the truck I was driving was not working.
Windows rolled down?
Got the windows rolled down. There was barely any wind. So I was barely getting a breeze. I was bleh. It was hot and it was a little humid. And
I got his little clip-on fan inside
That's
of a pickup.
That's what I needed, yeah.
Yeah.
Austin was in the little tractor that we have, and he was like, my AC's working great. What are you talking? I was like, shut up.
Yeah, you poor kids nowadays. You don't have a clue.
We really don't. We're a little spoiled, but it was hot.
We got an awesome show in store.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Kelsey Walters is going to be in here real quick-like, shortly, and we're going to talk to her about everything. I mean, she's got it going on. She's one of your OSU grads that you should enjoy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and anyway.
She can give me some advice.
She's locally born and raised here.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway, and then she went over to Europe. So, it's going to be a fun conversation with her. Fun and interesting.
It's going to be very interesting for sure.
Yeah, so got that coming up. So, quickly, let's go over some of the things. Let's just go over the grains. I'll skip what happened overnight, and let me update the grains and livestock real quick. Corn for July is at 608. It's up over 14. September's 499. December's 505. Soybeans are down over 22 cents today. They're at 1495 for July. August 1473. September 1389. Soybean meal for July is 426.80. August is 421.70. September is 411.20. Soybean oil for July, 67.89. August, 64.36. Hard red winter wheat up 3 today. For July, it's at 807. September's up 13 at 819. Oats for July, 394. Just dead even today. Nothing much going on there. September's 403. Way down here, we got cotton. Cotton's actually up a little bit. It's almost 83 cents a pound, but we'll call it 82. December's 81. Sugar. I wonder if Sugar Daddy's back yet.
I don't know.
I don't either. Anyway, he lost money while he was gone. Sugar is for October's at 24, because I know he was hoping for 25 cents.
Okay.
Rumors have it. Now, I don't know. It's a rumor. Quote, rumor.
Rumor.
And I probably know the person that's starting this rumor. And rumors have it that he's going to have sugar cane on his side-by-side in the Dust Bowl parade tomorrow.
Oh, so cool.
Oh, yeah. But we'll see.
So exciting.
Yeah. I don't know if he will or not. But anyway, like I said, it was a rumor. And he was maybe bringing one of his new pineapple trees.
I'll take a pineapple.
Yeah. So I thought, since I'm emceeing the parade, I'd get me a bag of rice and throw rice at him as he went by.
Wow.
They said no candy throwing, so I'm going to throw rice.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, live cattle for August, 179.20 up to 30. Live cattle for October, 182.07 up 197. December is 185.30 up 192. And February, 187.90 up 150. Feeder cattle are climbing back up. They lost a little bit of ground yesterday, but they're coming back strong. It's still a great market. August is 246.55. September is 249.12. Matter of fact, I rolled in some of my landlord's cattle yesterday into the Elk City Livestock Auction.
You did?
Yeah, and they promptly had me unloaded, paperwork done. I was totally impressed. Got out of there.
Very nice.
Yeah, got one cow. He said, that's one of my young cows. You need to take it in. It's 20 years old.
What?
Yeah. She was still producing. I mean, I don't know about the teeth deal, but anyway, she was fat. She looked good. I mean, just depends on how you're managed. You can live a good life. She had a good one. Anyway, so got that all done. Go by there after the show today and have me a famous Elk City Livestock Auction cheeseburger.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, with some fries and a glass of half and half iced tea. So we got that going on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you're headed to Colorado?
Yes.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. We're probably pulling out of the driveway at 6 a.m.
We're just being ready for the parade.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, anybody's got a golf cart and they want to come over and get in the parade and ride with the Serra National Golf Course? Got a bunch of them committed to being in there.
Sweet.
You're going to be the last ones in the parade.
Well, it'd be fun, though.
So you're more than welcome to come over and join. It's going to be a fun day tomorrow. Tonight, the Serra FFA is going to have their calf fry at 6
yeah.
o'clock. And then
Yum.
7 o'clock, the ranch rodeo.
Well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. There was a bunch of people in that park last night. So anyway, it's going to be a great time. Don't miss it. And then tomorrow, the parade, then the Dust Bowl Day vendors and all that stuff, free swimming, free miniature golf, everything is going on. And then they close the park around 3:30 or 4, I believe, and then start letting people back in for the Wheeler General Store and the KECO Wild Plum Dam.
Oh, the concert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. So, anyway, and speaking of Wheeler General Store, today is the Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County, from animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies. They are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a Hi-Pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. And I'm telling you, you guys get a chance, and you've been over the store. It's
mm-hmm.
cool.
It's very cool.
If you guys get a chance to support the Wheeler General Store, they support our community on both sides of the state line, just like this Wild Plum Jam. They big donation help get some of these good bands that are coming.
Oh, yeah.
And they help all the FFA, 4-H, and all that stuff out. So pay them back. Go do some business.
Yeah.
Go check
them out.
And they're good people.
I got some good stuff, too.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we don't know what we're going to do, but we'll figure it out. We'll talk to, probably talk to Kelsey when she gets here. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had an incident this past December. We had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey, and honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind him. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of
it. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rainstorm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I wish I'd had the mic on that sneeze.
That was a loud one. That's what I get for hauling hay while my dad's bailing it.
All right, welcome back from that Wheeler General Store break. Let me just go ahead and pick Wellington today. Currently at Wellington, it's 85 degrees, heat index at 92, humidity's at 69, dew point's at 74, the wind is out of the southwest at 11 miles an hour, and we got, 14 mile an hour gust. They had a peak wind gust today of 42 miles an hour.
Oh, that's windy.
I guess they probably had one of those storms come through that was rolling everywhere. Month-to-date precipitation they did because the other day they only had less than an inch. Now they got 1.24 inches. 8-inch soil temperature is 84 degrees. And guess who's in the studio?
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good.
Miss Kelsey Walters. She's, well, Mrs., but we'll just go with Kelsey Walters. And anyway, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for coming in.
I'm excited to be here.
Are you?
Running over from Canute.
Did you run or drive?
Well, I wish I could run that far, but no, I drove in. most of the people over from Europe, they think that, you know, we're still riding horses and buggies over here, but no.
I was in a car
that's twice the size of most of the little cars over in Europe.
And, oh, man.
And get over here in the Escalade, so.
Yeah, they just, well, Jill and I are excited to have you on the show, and she's like, she's pumped up. She's got so many questions to ask you, but first, tell all of our listeners, because we got the station out of 100.1 out of Woodward, and of course 96.5 here listening. Tell everybody who you are.
All right. Well, my name is Kelsey Walters. We've gone over a lot. My mom and dad, Wayne and Sean Walters, are permanent residents of Canute, Oklahoma. My grandmother, Janelda Smith, lives in Hammond, still independently. And you know, we're rooted out here for multiple generations, like most farming families are. I graduated from Canute High School and then went to Oklahoma State University and got a degree in agriculture economics. And then, as I was, you know, the summer after you graduate, I had a couple of different options, and I had started my master's degree in international agriculture there out of OSU. But then I also got I had put in a kind of an application with Peace Corps, and while I was in Mexico doing a study abroad with OSU, I got a call, and they said, oh, if you can be back and have all your paperwork, you need to leave in 5 weeks. And so it went by really fast, and then I found myself, to the disbelief of my parents and Canute, over in the Republic of Moldova, joining and starting my Peace Corps service for 2 years. You know, quite unbelievable. I don't think my dad even believed what was going on, and I showed him. I said, well, here's the tickets I got in the mail from the U.S. federal government sending me to Washington, D.C. for 2 days to do our basically introduction, staging, get all of our paperwork, and then to fly straight to the Republic of Moldova. And they said, well, darn, I guess you are going.
I can see your dad doing that too. Hey, but I bet one of the comments that come out of your mom to your dad was, she's already got her visa. So.
Well, I didn't. I had to go to Washington, D.C. to get all that, because they, you know, they don't want to get all the paperwork for you unless they know that you're committed to get over there. But, yeah, I had all my bags packed and went over, and you never know what's awaiting you. It's really hard to know, and for everybody it's a little bit different in the Peace Corps. People going to Europe versus people going to Latin America or to Africa all have very different experiences and
what
very
year
different
was that?
Things that they did. Well,
what
again?
Year was it you went to?
2007
okay.
to 2009.
Right, okay.
And so, you know, and looking back, that's years ago. When we arrived there, we didn't have internet. We didn't have, you know, the iPhone had come out in 2007. So we were still paper-based. I had a backpack full of a camera, a laptop, you know, all of these standalone
palm
devices.
Palm computer.
Yeah, palm reader, translator, translation books, dictionaries. Oh, my gosh, my backpack was so heavy. And, you know, it's so radical how much the technology has changed all of our experiences. But looking back and going through some of my maps and papers and explaining to my daughter, I'd have to drive in 2 hours to the city when I was in Moldova out of my village to go to a computer so I could print out something on Google Maps if I was going to go to Romania for a couple of days to explore. I didn't have a handheld device with a map on it. You're just hoping that you can find
the right,
you know,
road.
The internet somewhere to get lost. So now we've, you know, now traveling back and forth for us, I've got my Moldovan cell phone number still active on my iPhone that also has my Oklahoma number on it. So I've got two phone numbers on one device. And I've kind of stopped carrying my camera. I do have a drone. I take my drone with me. That's the one thing my iPhone can't do is to fly up in the air yet.
Her and I were talking about it earlier. You kind of had it sitting on top of your, it looked like it was sitting on top of your hat.
Yeah, that's why I launched. I got my hands tied up, and I thought, well, what am I going to do? Everything was kind of muddy, or the grass was too tall. And I thought, you know, I'm wearing a hat. Let me see if I can balance my drone and just launch it from on top of my hat, make sure my hair's pulled down so I don't get in a really big mess, you know, get my ponytail caught up in quadricopter. But, yeah, it's fun to have a different perspective using the drone technology nowadays. We can do a lot with it and just really get a better understanding of the area that we're managing, or community. I use it a lot for community development purposes. But when we're farming, too, we use the drone. We have some big fields out in Moldova, which we'll get to in a minute. We're just kind of having a good conversation here.
Oh, that's all we're going to have.
The drone, we can get up. We had some bad kind of washout flooding, and we had a big field of corn, and we couldn't get into we didn't know what was in the middle. You know, so you get in with a combine, but if you know what way that the wheat has fallen down or how much has fallen down, you have a better idea of what to tell the combine guy on how to approach that mess in the middle when you've got a field that's, you know, 200 acres big and it's got a little low spot in the middle. So we got the drone up and we were able to see what was going on. And then we could take a measurement and send that back into, like, the Ministry of Agriculture to try to get some type of crop damage assessment. But
it's like the OSU Extension office out there.
Well,
in the middle.
We got to do it all our own. That's, you know, that's probably the thing that's the most. And I come back here and I get so jealous of, you know, home. And I'm so appreciative because, like, OSU Extension, the weather, Mesonet, all of these tools that farmers and ranchers have access to, we don't have any of that. We don't have any of that. We have no idea what the weather is. We have no idea what the historical weather indexes are. I do a lot of data work and a lot of work in Excel, and so anytime I can get a hold of some data, then we look at it, we look at our historical precipitation. We just don't have any of those tools to really optimize our operation like what you could do in Oklahoma.
Yeah, the Oklahoma Mesonet, it's the king of all weather, I think. I mean, it just, yes, we have the Mesonet stations aren't where everybody wants them to be, but no. It takes a lot of money to put one in. So, hey, but it's better than nothing, right?
Well, I've got like three in the whole Republic of Moldova, so that's,
Well, before the show started, before you got here, we were comparing the size of Moldova with the state of Oklahoma. Oklahoma has approximately 69,000 square miles, and Moldova's like 18 or 19,000.
Yeah, now we get into those conversions, right? I'm just working on that there. So just roughly said, Moldova's one-third the size of Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah, one-third the size. And I make maps. I'm a cartographer, data analyst, and so I make maps. And it was really we're so far up on latitude that we're basically at the top end of Wisconsin. If you put your finger on the map and you follow it around, but our weather is not that cold. So if you analyze the weather, so I worked for the World Bank a little bit and did a weather, basically ag assessment for them, because they said, well, we'd like to figure out how much of an impact these weather things are in Moldova, but we don't know how to. We need somebody to put the data together, and I said, well, I'll take a crack at it. And once we finally looked at the data, Moldova, as far as growing days per year, as far as minimum temperatures, maximum growing days per year and minimum temperatures, is right about northern Oklahoma, Arkansas, as far as this weather goes. If you put it on the hardiness scale of the United States, you know, we've got these hardiness scales where you can plant trees and perennial shrubs without them freezing out during the winter, then Moldova falls right in about northern Oklahoma, southern Kansas.
So it can be cold, but it can be warm, right?
Well, it's not. We don't get the heat like we do here. It doesn't get near as intense. We're so far south here in Oklahoma that, you know, we get 100-degree days, and that's no surprise, you know. Yeah. If we would get a 100-degree day in Moldova because the humidity index is different, then that would be severely disabling for the population.
It'd be like Paul's Valley yesterday.
130 degrees.
Well, let's take a quick Wheeler General Store break, and when we get back, we'll continue, because she's intensifying. She can't wait to ask her a couple of questions.
I'm like a bomb waiting to explode.
Right. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Yes, sir, the legend is true. Jimmy Clark once strangled a cougar with a cordless phone. This is your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 7th. I'm Drew Cobb. 974 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 270 brought 340. 5 at 545 brought 278. 4 at 581 brought 255. 21 at 646 brought 254.50. 8 at 665 brought 260. 3 at 700 brought 225. 3 at 723 brought 219. 9 head of heifers at 401 brought 255. 7 at 528 brought 250. 8 at 550 brought 250. 4 at 564 brought 232. 6 at 712 brought 217. 9 at 774 brought 207.70. 4 at 831 brought 195. Butcher cows were 35 to 126. Butcher bulls brought 92 to 145. Bred cows were 1100 to 2610. Pairs brought 850 to 2625. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Here, kitty, kitty.
Hi, I'm Gary Owens, the owner of Galleria Furniture. For 18 years, we've been bringing you the best furniture deals in Oklahoma. We have bedroom sets, which includes queen bed, dresser, mirror, nightstand, and matching chest. Our competitor's price is $1,099. At Galleria, it's just $799. And remember, we'll beat any competitor's price, or it's yours for free. Visit any of our 7 locations, including our huge main store at I-40 in Portland.
Appliances not included.
What's holding you back from learning the language you've always wanted to know?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's lessons take just 15 minutes a day.
15 minutes isn't long.
Nope. And they're fun. So you don't realize you're learning a language, but you are. In 3 weeks, you're able to start having conversations. And Babbel's lessons are built around real life.
And with Babbel, it isn't hard.
It's perfect.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
I open new accounts, CDs, IRAs, help our customers with online banking, order debit cards, anything that has to do with checking accounts, savings accounts, opening those up for new customers or helping our existing customers with any issues or things that they might have with an account. They want customer service. They want someone to just know who they are, and they want someone that they can trust. I'm Tori Ashpaw, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust at Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC, your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners. This is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You got the weather ready.
I picked Buffalo today. It's 89 degrees in Buffalo, but it feels like 97 degrees. It's a little toasty out there. Heat risk is very high today. Dew point is 72 degrees. Humidity is 57%. Wind, it literally says calm, which tells me there's not even a breeze out there. Your sun is going to set at 8:59 p.m. this evening. Today you can expect a high of 92 degrees with a chance of thunderstorms this evening. Tonight there's a 60% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 67 degrees. Tomorrow, 20% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 87. Sunday is looking to be 89 degrees. Monday it's going to be very hot with 98 degrees. And next Tuesday it's also going to be 99.
Well, I really like it when we're talking during break and people go, I'm learning more about you all the time. Is that correct there, Jill?
Yes, always. I learn something about you every time I come in here, I think.
You go. Anyway, in the studio with Jill and I is Kelsey Walters, and we're talking about how she was raised right here in Washtenaw County, Canute. And went to OSU and then ended up in Moldova. And we're going to get into that now, because things got to be different over there than they are here. And she's like a grenade ready to flip that switch off. So get after
it, young
lady.
He usually just turns it over to me, so you're stuck with me probably for the rest of the show. Great. So I'm really curious. We tried to look it up, but what kind of government does Moldova have? Is it a democracy, monarchy?
No, it's a democracy. So it's, you know, we have like a federal republic in the United States, and mm-hmm. then there it's, you know, it's parliamentary government.
Okay.
And so it's all democracy. The leaders of the country are elected by the population. It's not a, you know, the elections are free and clear now. Because it's such a small country and we're in such a kind of a complicated area of the world, there's a lot of other countries that get involved in our own internal politics there and try to influence the elections. But that's, I mean, obviously we're in a war zone right now. So,
right.
We're just not actively, we don't have people actively fighting in the war, but we've had the electricity turned off and the gas turned off and all sorts of things happening in Moldova. So we can't sell grain, for example, out of the farm, because we usually sell out of the port of Odessa, Ukraine, and the Russians have blockaded that port, and then that grain deal, you know, it's working, but it's just, they're not getting grain out at the volume that Ukraine produces, and so it's just barely
and
a trickle.
And today, it's the big thing in news and ag, is the deal is ready for renewal again Monday, but Russia's saying no, and, you know, all the political crap's going on, so.
Yeah, particularly, we're just starting harvest over there, and it's, you know, as everybody's harvesting, of course, that they get a little bit more negotiating power at the table because there's such an urgency to get that crop out. So this will be the second year that we just put it in the barn. So everybody's barns are full, their bank accounts are empty.
Oh.
And, you know, I think the major co-op there that buys a lot of the produce that we sell, we haven't sold any to them because we knew what they were, that they haven't paid people since January December last year.
So at least you know where it's at. It's in your
just
barn.
Keep it in our barn right now. You know, the problem is you get some storage issues when you get some rain and, you know, things start to get a little bit hot and a little bit moldy, and so you've got to be pulling it out of the barn and kind of aerating it out.
And what crop do you guys got in the barn?
Oh, we got everything. We got, canola, sunflower seed, corn, wheat, barley. Those are the ones that we grow primarily. I think most of the corn we've been able to sell because last year we had poor crop. But we've still got a lot of wheat and sunflower seed in the barn. The canola we just contracted and sent directly to the port, and it's going out between Moldova and Romania, so down through the Danube Delta way that goes into the Black Sea. And but we contracted it out, I think. I'm just trying to get some calculation on prices. And, you know, canola, everything here for us is just a lot cheaper, but it's like here in the United States, it's like $25 a 100 pounds canola seed, and there it's like $18 a pound for canola seed. So it's just across the board, the differences are pretty big.
Okay.
So back to, we can't get things out of the port, but that's what we're growing right now.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, so you talked about canola. I did a little stalking on your Facebook page. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Yes, I noticed tons of pictures of red flowers.
Poppies.
Okay. Is that very common in Moldova?
Well, that happened a lot when we were just coming into Peace Corps in 2007, when the farming and the agriculture sector there had not been able to get a hold of, like, agricultural chemicals and herbicides. So when you have a lot of poppies in your wheat field, that means that you're just not able to spray on time, get the herbicide in, and get those weeds killed. So instead of we have some nettles and some thistles that come up, we have a whole bunch of poppies that are going to come up in the fields. So if a farmer doesn't have enough cash to buy the herbicide or get the field cultivated in time, he's going to have poppies come up. So the poppies are a result of just the farmer being in a tough spot. And it was beautiful for us to go take some photos and put them on Facebook.
But it's not good for the farmer.
But it's not good for the farmer. And so that's, you know, you only know that once you get in. But, you know, there's definitely an opportunity for somebody to grow. They grow lavender in Moldova, and they charge people to come out and take photos in it. Well, you can grow poppies. You know, basically just don't plant your wheat or don't spray it. And you have a whole bunch of poppies come up and then just charge people to go take photos in them. So,
hey, I'm a photographer. I would die to have some
kind of, I keep telling my dad,
that,
I said, you
like
know,
that.
We got to put some sunflowers in, some lavender, and some poppies in, and charge people to come take some photos.
So the lavender, I guess they make the essential oils out of.
Well, that's only if you're growing it off the highway, you know, somewhere deep away from the highway where you can't charge people to take photos. I think the most lucrative part of that production is where they actually charge people $25 a head to go take photos.
Is that right?
Lavender.
Wow.
So, or charge the photographer, and then the photographer increases their fee, and then they figure it out.
Wayne, yep. You're right there by I-40. Plant some lavender. I mean, no, it doesn't get any better than that. If you get Justin to clean up some of the cars around the mechanic shop.
Well, you know, about a couple years ago, we had all the marijuana grow houses up, and you know, the smell in Western Oklahoma changed a little bit as you're going downwind of one of those grow houses. And I thought, you know, put in lavender and the smell enhances, you know, it's just really lovely. But then, you know, there's always what we just fail to recognize is that there's a diversity of different crops that are able to be grown where we're at.
Right.
It's just that somebody's got to take that chance and try to find that market and make it work.
Yeah, plant a big field of lavender, start a subdivision on the wind end of it and the north end of it. People would just love to move in there.
Oh, they would.
They wouldn't have to buy any more essential oils from my wife. I'm going to slip a question in there, and let me open it up here. Because I seen it, I also creeped on your Facebook too. She said, so anyway, but you brought a deal up on your Facebook page early last June, and you said Moldova has several critical weaknesses, and I thought it was very interesting what you were saying about their livestock sector. Can you explain a little bit what you was talking about on your page?
Well. We in Oklahoma don't know how blessed we are to have, you know, we don't like big government, you know, we don't like government oversight, but we have such a huge advantage because we have the tools that our government and our systems have provided us with the weather, with the historical data, with what the forecasting, with price forecasting, with price, you know, kind of price reserves, Kansas City Federal Reserve. Everybody's kind of doing this analysis to make sure American farmers have optimized opportunities.
Right.
No, we don't have any of that over there. So what happens in the livestock sector there was inherited from the Soviets, who put all their cows in a barn and try to keep them in a barn over winter, and, you know, and the manure would pile up. And so nobody wants to work in livestock in Moldova because they are reminded of the way it was, where if you got assigned the livestock farm during the Soviet Union, that means that you were just in probably not even waiters. You were in flip-flops scooping out barns that had held 100 head of cattle all winter. I mean, that's not a very good job, right?
Doesn't sound
and
good.
They're not putting them out to pasture. They're, you know, in Europe, they have this thing where they're just afraid of a little bit of a breeze. There's a lot of countries around the world that they say if you get that breeze on you, if you open a window and a breeze comes in, you might catch cold. Well, they think that that's going to happen to the cattle as well, so that's why they keep them in the barns. Now, if you look at a more cold, hardy type of livestock and bring them in, then you can keep them out to pasture.
Right.
But it's just a different system. And so because they're not improving their technologies on livestock management, and because the government completely missed sight of the fact that the livestock sector was in downfall, we have basically no beef. We have a lot of pork and a lot of chickens, but
imported. If you do have it,
yeah, you can import it from Germany, but you can imagine the price point, right? Try to eat beef. So when we come here to Oklahoma, Mom says, "Well, I just, you know, I've got a steer waiting for us to pick him up at the butcher shop," and so we just eat beef all summer. We try to, you know, get a little bit of protein and, you know, all of the things that make us a little bit stronger.
So how was your little girl's reaction to eating beef compared to the chicken and pork? What was the reaction?
Well, you know, with kids, you know, it's hard in any country to pull kids away from, you know, chicken nuggets, French fries, and ketchup.
Right.
Or my girls love to make what they call a ketchup sandwich. They say they feel super independent, and that's two pieces of bread and some ketchup between, which is pretty disgusting. But, you know, hey, they're very independent doing it. So when we make, you know, they eat. But I as a parent, am just very, very confident and proud that they're eating something of substance, not something imported, not something injected or prefabricated so it looks like beef or smells like beef. It's what kind of what we have over there. Okay. Livestock sectors is basically non-existent there. We don't have enough feed or forage to really sustain that system. There's got to be a value chain that allows those livestock producers to be able to ensure that they can produce a crop and feed them out. So you've either got producers, but you don't have feedlots, and you don't have processing, butcher, you know, you don't have that whole value chain built out.
Right. And so that's probably, once you got over there, I bet that was kind of a shock to you.
Oh, absolutely. For the last, 10 years, I've looked at, I said, well, if anything, I know how to raise a cow. We know how to raise a beef system.
Yeah, if you don't, you're not your mom's daughter.
We've been running cows with all of this moisture. There's been a lot more foot problems, foot rot, or just infections in the cattle just because of the unusual moisture this time of year. And so we've had more cattle. My daughter's been to the vet or moving cattle, I think probably, 10 out of the last 20 days that we've been here. So it's been a really great experience. But yeah, we going to Moldova, looking at investing in business and agribusiness in Moldova. Of course, I was always partial to going back into livestock production there. But over the years, I just realized that, I can be a producer, but I can't just be a producer. I've got to build out a fully vertically integrated system from calf to processing, all the way to the packaging and the retail contracts with, supermarkets and restaurant supply chains, that entire system. And for one person, you can do it, but if there wasn't for the red tape and the bureaucracy and the old bad Soviet laws that were just adopted that you've got to get around, and I just don't bribe people. If you're open to bribing somebody in the government to get things done, but you got to do it 100 times, and you bribe them today, and then you come back tomorrow and they want more money. It busts your business plan pretty quickly.
Right.
So
yeah, if you had a very good investor with the right influence and stuff, it'd be probably a pretty good business.
There's been a lot of interest, but the thing is, when you've got a good livestock background, you usually don't have that access to finance or you're going to a country that allows you to grow a lot faster, like Ukraine. Ukraine's just massive. I mean, they're huge. Or Romania. Romania is a NATO member. They're pretty secure, and they're a member of the EU, so you don't have to deal with bribing anybody, and you got a lot bigger playing ground.
I got you. We need to take a break, our last Wheeler General Store break. And we're running a few minutes late, and I should have had her come in at noon. Anyway, so we'll come back, and got a couple questions for you off the text line for you already, some really good ones, and we'll come back and finish out the show.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You mess with the cowboy, get the Spurs. July 15th, on the stage in Serra, Oklahoma, Joe Merrick's going to be wearing Spurs.
I'm a big deal in my hometown, I guess. Is that right?
It is the second annual KECO-FM and Wheeler General Store.
Wild Plum Jam Music Festival.
It's happening July 15th, folks. That is Saturday. Right, Joe?
It gets a little Western and a little fun.
Joe opens it up with the Even Money Band at 4:30, Tyler Wilhelm Band at 6.
First name is T, last name is Willie. Listen good.
Tell me, how's one for you?
Mickey and the Motor Cars at 8.
It's a long road to nowhere with a million miles to go.
With your headliners Asleep at the Wheel going on around 10 p.m.
Take me back to Tulsa. I'm too young to marry.
For Wild Plum Jam tickets, visit Hutch's C Stores, Wheeler General Store, Dust Bowl Days Facebook page, dustbowldays.com, or just get them at the gate. No ice chests allowed in the park. They'll have adult beverage vendors, homemade biscuits, and wild plum jelly served during the concert. Hey, Tyler, I'm grabbing a beer. You want one?
I'd be lying if I said I don't.
Simply put, Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's number one choice for delicious dining. Simon's Catch features all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, USDA choice steaks, and mouth-watering desserts, including cheesecake and brownie pie. Make dinner tonight simple. Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Simon's Catch Restaurant open at 5, Wednesday through Saturday, and at noon on Sunday.
From pump to pivot, Valley.
Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Jill, do you have our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast?
I do.
Have you been to Hobart Farm and Garden?
Oh, you should.
You need to go.
I picked the large town of Eric America today. It is 88 degrees there, feels like 93. Heat risk is low. Dew point is 71 degrees. Humidity 57%. Wind is out of the southeast at 13 miles an hour. Your sun is going to set at 8:55 p.m. this evening. Today you can expect a high of 96 degrees. It's going to be sunny for most of the day. There's a 50% chance of thunderstorms this evening with a low of 68 degrees. Tomorrow also a chance of thunderstorms and tomorrow night. Sunday is looking to be a high of 87 degrees. Monday it's going to be 98. And next Tuesday it's going to be hot. It's going to be 101 degrees.
Oh, boy. Well, still in the studio with us. Jill and I hadn't ran her off yet. It's Miss Kelsey Walters, and she's in here talking about the difference between the U.S. of A. and the Moldova and what goes on over there, because Moldova was part of the Russia before, what, 91, before it all broke up?
Yeah, it was a former Soviet satellite
country.
Right. Yeah, part of the Soviet Union.
We got a question for you off the text line before we get back to Jill. Are there more restrictions over there on the use of pesticides and herbicides compared to the U.S.?
So there are lots of restrictions on the book.
Okay.
But does the government there have any way to enforce? Not really, unless they're coming and doing an inspection, and they can always get you on something. So you don't have the information on what. They can always find a restriction that you didn't even know you were supposed to be following, right?
Right.
They're not trying to inform the public. They're just, sometimes they're trying to be punitive. So generally you go if it's licensed in the license book of registered pesticides and herbicides, you can go pick it up at the one of the companies in the city and get what you need. They can come and deliver it for you. Now the problem is when you get a whole bunch of people who are getting black market chemicals from China and spraying that they have no idea, so they add a little bit more and then they spray and the wind blows it over and just kills, you know, your peach orchard or your lavender crop or whatever you've got. So I hate to have restrictions, but I sure don't like to live in a country where I'm afraid to take my kids out because I don't know who's spraying over the corner and what they're spraying. There's been a lot of issues.
I got you. And also somebody texted in, there's a lavender farm near Apache. Well, guess what? I've been there. I got a purple cap from that lavender farm.
No way.
Sandy and I stopped in there at Apache. It was, It was on one of the back roads, I ain't gonna lie. So anyway, but yeah, there's a really cool lavender farm down there. It's not one of those great big ones like you'll see up in northern Idaho or probably over in Moldova, but it was pretty cool.
May have to go check that out.
All right, well, you better finish up with her. We got about 5 minutes.
Yeah, you should have given us the whole hour, Jimmy.
I know.
What the heck?
Well, you should have been here scheduling it.
Sorry, my bad. Okay, I'm dying to know about it. Moldova's has a lot of wine vineyards. Is that correct?
Everywhere.
Everywhere?
Oh, everywhere.
So I've never been to a wine vineyard. I'm assuming you probably have.
Well, you know, wine's not our thing, but, I mean, hey, if we want to take somebody to a winery, we just drive 10 minutes and there's one. Or there's one over the hill on the other side. And specifically where we're farming in that area in the south. So we're only, you know, as a crow flies, we're about 60 miles to Odessa, Ukraine.
Okay.
And that takes us about 2.5 hours to get there through all the winding roads and to go through customs. But along that road from the capital city of Chișinău, Moldova, to Odessa, Ukraine, there is a number of very well-renowned wineries along that road, and we've been renting and farming some of the land that the wineries don't have grapes growing, so we'll put some wheat in. It's kind of marginal land because when you grow grapes, they're usually on a hill. It's usually a little bit sandier,
mm-hmm.
but Moldova's really humid climate has for centuries been recognized as great grape growing area. So if you want wine, yeah, you want cheap wine, you want to go to a cheap winery, come to Moldova in a couple years after things settle down.
So when is the hottest touristry?
Oh, probably season. October, because we have a big wine festival in Moldova.
Okay.
So people come in from all over.
Oktoberfest everywhere, all over the world.
It's not Germany. Wow.
Well, she just graduated from Elk City. She's really smart, and she's going to OSU. Tell her what to expect.
Yeah, give me some advice.
Oh, man. You know, I don't know. Make friends and be involved in clubs. And, I mean, just, you know, make sure you get that, you know, 20 hours set of, you know, classroom and study. And then, you know, I put my nose to the books really hard the first 2 years and then burned out the last three and then came back and finished my master's with a 4.0. And so it's just, you know, try to get a steady rhythm and don't go all in and then burn out and then have to pull back. So it just, you know, find a way where you've got a good cadence, a good group of friends around you that are kind of trying to do the same thing, and have fun, because you got to build that in. I look back and I'm like, oh man, I can't believe that so long ago. You know what you can, you know, the things that you can do and the adventures you can have and the spontaneous stuff you can put in your life with when you don't have kids. It only happens really in college, so take advantage of that too.
Well, maybe when things calm down over there, and hopefully it does soon, and gets calmed down, maybe you could take a field trip over to see her.
I might have to.
We did a study abroad from OSU. We took a group of kids from Ukraine to Moldova to Romania. Yeah, it was Eastern Europe study abroad. We did that through the Ag College.
Oh, that's very cool.
So, yeah,
well, I've considered study
brains.
Abroad, so...
Her.
I'm going to put that on the list now.
You see that hard drive? I can see that little light going off the whole time.
Yeah, Jimmy knows me pretty well at this point, I think.
Yeah, well, if things calm down, we'll put together an ag tour. You know, not just a student tour, but an ag tour. Because there's a lot of neat things to see, and, you know, it's a good place to go. But, Jimmy, I'm going to take a selfie, and I'm going to put it on Facebook since you guys have been looking at my page. And if anybody wants to follow along, then...
All right, cheese.
Follow along. When I post photos of our cattle and our windmill and our red barn here, and people back there see a little bit into what the western side of, you know, agriculture in the U.S. is, and vice versa. So it's a really good way to continue to share culture between two places.
It's very, you know, we keep it local. We try to keep this show as local as we can, but you were born and raised local. You're here for right now. And I really, for about a year now, I've been wanting you to share your story, what's going on in Ukraine, and hopefully things get calmed down and you and the hubby can get back together and get back to normal.
Oh, man, normal, you know. What is that word anymore to everybody? But yeah, we just like to sell some crop and be able to go to vacation in Colorado like anybody else.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I know we didn't cover a tenth or a hundredth of what we could do, because I know off your Facebook page. We got the, you know, you do a lot over there, especially with the U.S. trying to do all that stuff. And I'm looking forward to maybe having you come back on the show in the future.
Yeah, let me know. I'll make sure the cats are all in the house so nobody gets out, makes me late.
I'd love to have your mom come on, but I'm afraid she'd slap me a couple times. Anyway, I love her to death.
Oh, man.
It's been great having Miss Kelsey Walters on. And even though she's a missus, we're going with the American name today. And anyway, good luck to you, and hope things get better in Moldova. And Jill, enjoy your days off.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation.
So we're good. That's the end of the show. Hope you guys all enjoyed it. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark and Dale Metter, and God bless.